meeting's called to order. First is roll call.
Chairperson Bugley?
Present.
Vice Chair McBride?
Present.
Commissioner Abad?
Present.
Commissioner Cook?
Present.
Commissioner DeNeo? Commissioner Jones? A quorum's present.
Next item is public comments, and these are limited to 3 minutes per person.
Good evening, Sharon Ross, Capital City Arts Initiative. I just want to invite you to enjoy the brand new exhibition that we hung yesterday afternoon. We still have the signage to go up, so it's coming. It should be up later this week or beginning of next week. But we're thrilled. We have 7 artists from the Great Basin Native Artists community. They're a group of artists that gathered in 2014 and have been promoting their work as a group. They've had a lot of shows in Northern Nevada and in Northern California, including one in Italy last summer. And I can't pronounce the name of the gallery in Italy, but it's on our website. All the title cards are up, but 2, it's all coming, so please do enjoy it. It's terrific to work with them. Also, we have handouts, of course.
Sharon, after you do your handouts, would you please sign in? And all other public commenters.
So giving you the essay from Jeff Hampman's exhibition, which is our exhibition we have over at the courthouse. It'll be up until May 25th, I believe. We're delighted with it and hope you get a chance to go over and see it. Do you have any questions?
It's wonderful having the art exhibits up here.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate the wall space. Thank you very much.
Any other comments?
My name is James Kiley, and I'm here tonight on behalf of Mary Fisher. Mary really wanted to come to the meeting, but she had an earlier commitment, and she's out of town, out of state probably by now. But she asked me to read a letter to you, and it's to the Carson City Cultural Commission regarding future artwork in Carson City. Carson City is already well established as an art-friendly city. The amazing artworks along the Carson City Freeway, as well as the downtown and government areas, beautifully explore the history of this region. The residents of Carson City in the past years have voted at the many meetings on the downtown redevelopment to protect the history of our state capital. Streets, sidewalks, facades, and amenities will stress the precious history of our community. In the coming years, there will be future art projects placed at other locations within the community by private citizens or other entities. To be consistent with the history theme, it would be well to enact a resolution that would state that all future public art in Carson City must reflect the history, historic events, or the famous people involved in the development of our city in such a manner that the artwork would be recognized by residents and tourists as part of a historical concurrent whole. This would help all that live, work, or visit Carson City to understand the history and beauty of this area. It would also solidify a theme which would entice people to this area as we continue into the future. A general theme of the history of Carson City would leave room for individual interpretation by an artist. The decision on the relevance of each proposed art project should not be decided by one person, but by a committee of at least 3 or more. The committee should contain lay people as well as persons active in the art community. It is understood that this cannot be discussed or acted upon at this meeting, but I hope that placement of this subject on your May meeting agenda will enable discussion and perhaps the development of a suitable recommendation to be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors for their consideration. Please do this so that guidelines can be established to assist artists and organizations who wish to prepare works of art for display in our community. Thank you, Mary Fisher.
Thank you, Jim. Please sign the sheet. And do we have any other comments?
No. Thanks, Jim. Mary's going to regret not being here. Thank you.
Next item is approval of the minutes. And we have minutes from two previous meetings, October 26th and November 23rd, 2015.
Can you state the reason why they're outside the 45 days? Just as being because we haven't had a meeting since then?
Yes. We had a special meeting, a concurrent meeting, with which commission was it?
Yeah, I think the last time we met, Ellie, was in November itself.
But we had subcommittee meetings, and then we had joint meetings, and we didn't have a separate cultural commission meeting until this one.
If the December meeting was canceled.
I move to approve both sets, the October 26th and the November 23rd, 2015 minutes.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next item is item two. Modifications to the agenda. Do we have any need to change the order of the items on this meeting agenda?
Not from staff's perspective.
From the commissioners? The public? Okay. Hearing none, we will approve the agenda as presented and move on to item three for possible action. First is to elect a chairperson and vice chairperson for this commission for the coming year.
I nominate Eleanor Bugley to be the chair for one more term as the chair for our commission.
I second that.
Are there any other nominations? Should we do both positions? Or?
Why don't you just do one at a time?
One at a time. Okay. Are there any comments from the public? Okay, then I will call the question. All in favor? Next is a vice chairperson.
I move to appoint Terry McBride as vice chair for the commission.
Second.
Any comments from public, staff, commissioners? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
That one quickly. Next item is item 3B. It's the Downtown Business Association's mural project, which will be on the northeast corner of Curry Street and Ann Street. And Sharon is ready to discuss it.
I don't mean to rush, but we have Nevada neighbors tonight over at the Brick, so you're all invited. I met with Kyle. Eric Burke was selected, artist Eric Burke was selected to do the mural on the wall across from Purple Avocado and the backside, hopefully part of the backside of the Bikesmith. All of the people that looked at the, reviewed the applications, he was the unanimous for Eric. Eric just received a fellowship in visual arts from the Nevada Arts Council last year. He's a very accomplished muralist. He's done two murals for the Arts Initiative here in Carson City. One was painted out after it had been up for 6 months. The other one's been partially painted out, but it would be nice to have one that will stay. So he will have designs that he's going to show the Downtown Business Association, and this is a DBA project. It's their first public art project, and there is an okay from the city for that short wall, and then the backsmith of the Bikesmith owner, Kyle told me he's gotten approval from that owner that it's fine to use the back of that wall. And Eric's going to be doing the painting of the wall during the May 1 walk, so that's whatever the first Saturday in May is, and hopes to have it, the goal is to have it all done in June for Epic Rides. It's very appropriate for Eric's quite a cyclist, so this is a cool fit. The budget for it was $2,000 to the artist. That includes honorarium and his travel, and there will be additional funds for materials, but that's parts to be negotiated. Any questions? Vern, do you have anything to add?
I think you've covered it very well.
Can I ask about Eric Berg? Was he one of the muralists that participated in the public demonstration of murals during Art Town last year?
He may have. I don't know.
Sharon, what's his theme for this mural?
I don't know that either.
Well,
I'm just messenger.
That kind of ties in with the letter from Mary Fisher.
You hope it ties in?
It should tie in, is what I'm saying. Right?
Well, there's no reason that it should.
No. I don't know.
Yeah, Mary Fisher, we can't act on this proposal, and this was already in motion. And actually, I think I read in the staff report for this agenda item, that they haven't seen what the work is yet, right?
No. Yeah. He's working on it now. Yeah. He got selected. The process was an RFP, and then he got selected. He was told he was selected, so now he's coming up with designs. So we're excited. Eric's wonderful.
Well, I would just like to thank the Downtown Business Association for being willing to do this and throwing some funds towards beautifying that little corner. Thank you.
And I think it's a wonderful launch to more public art projects. So thank you very much. So if your meeting's over by 7, come over to the brick. We have cookies. Thank you.
Well, Sharon, one last question for you. You said Eric Burke, is that B-U-R-K-E?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Item 3C is the...
Did you mention public comment?
Public comment.
On that last agenda item?
Okay, we had some comments from the commissioners. Any comments from the public? Hearing none, we'll move on. Item C is the Carson City's NEA application for an artworks grant for Carson City.
Hi, I'm Janice Keeler, Grants Administrator for Carson City. I just wanted to give you an update on the artworks grant that I just applied for. I submitted the application on March 3rd. We applied for $40,000. We matched it with $49,000 from bench sponsorships from the Chamber of Commerce and $10,000 of in-kind from the Brewery Arts Center. We will not find out until November of this year whether we get it or not, and the earliest start date would be January 1st of 2017. So what we applied for with that, the $40,000 plus our $49,000 in match and $10,000 from the Brewery Arts Center, was to do three art pieces as part of the downtown project. So there were going to be three locations. One was in front of the Attorney General's office, one was the Nevada State Museum, and one was the, I think it was the Nevada Supreme Court building in the Capitol complex. So I think whether we get this or not, I think this was all well worth it, because we still have this match money. We have $49,000, which will be used or can be used for art no matter what happens. So I think that's definitely a positive with this. And also what I didn't mention was Muscle Powered raised also sponsorship money for bike racks, which we didn't need for the match because we already had plenty of match. It was a one-to-one match, so we basically just needed $40,000. We had more than enough. So Muscle Powered, they are currently working with Western Nevada College, the welding department, to see if they can do artistic bike racks. And so that they have about roughly $17,000. And so what Muscle Powered is doing right now is they are contacting all the people who sponsored bike rack to see if they want their money to go towards the standard bike rack or an artistic bike rack. So they're giving them a choice. And so I think this will really help Carson City show that we would like to do art programming in the visual arts. I think the application that I submitted, it was a little tough because we currently don't really do a lot of visual arts programming. And so I think until we start doing more, I'm not sure how strong our applications can be. So I think after these projects, I think we're going to be able to do a lot stronger applications, and along with the approval of the Arts and Culture Master Plan and the creation of the Executive Director of the Municipal Arts Agency. I think those are all little steps towards really creating, you know, more art in Carson City. So that's about it. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Janice, I'm sorry, I missed the. When did you say that you would know whether or not we won the?
It's, the earliest is November of
okay.
this year.
Okay.
So we'll know. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Janice.
You're welcome.
I know this is a big step for Carson City to even apply for a grant like this. And if we don't get it, all the pieces you put together will be the framework for the next application. So it will go quicker.
I think, yes, I agree with that. And I have to also thank you for all your help in getting information for the application, because you were a big help.
Thank you. Any comments? Any public comments? We have now Joel Dunn, Executive Director of the Carson City Visitors Bureau, is going to discuss a job description for the proposed Arts and Culture Coordinator.
Thank you. For the record, Joel Dunn, Executive Director of the Carson City Visitors Bureau. I think as the board is aware, we've gone through some pretty significant changes in a short amount of time with the direction of the Arts and Culture Coordinator position. It was originally proposed through the master plan process, not being a portion of the Visitors Bureau. And through the vetting process, we've met with all of the properties. Those properties, we have 24 properties in Carson City that contribute to transient occupancy tax. Of those 24 properties, we received support from 23 for a proposed increase in room tax to support not only the position, but also the implementation of the master plan and the development of a cultural tourism campaign. We did have one of the properties that elected to take a no position based on the fact that they were actually selling the property. So that was, once again, a pretty long process, I guess, in a short amount of time. But it was great to see the community support from the lodging properties to work collectively with what we've seen over the course of the last year from the entire community supporting this master plan. Part of that support from the lodging properties was a change in direction with the coordinator, the position. Being that the position is intended to be funded out of an increase in room tax, and the purview of the fiscal management of room tax is handled by not only the Visitors Bureau Board, but also the Visitors Bureau. The position is supported by the lodging properties and also approved through the Visitors Board to work directly out of the Visitors Bureau. Won't change the communication and the working relationship that you'll have as a board with this position. just changes where they get to have their office. And I can say the office of the Visitors Bureau, you've got a lot of creative minds doing great things for the community, so I think it's going to be a great fit. The process of establishing a job description, it's really the first step in creating that collaborative effort with not only the city, but also the Visitors Bureau and the commission. We met as a group back on February 22nd, and that group consisted of representatives from the Nevada Arts Council. I want to thank Kelly Dufresne and Amy Spencer for being a part of that process. We also had representation from your board. Eleanor Bugley was representing the board, as well as Stan Jones. Supervisor Abboud was part of it, representing the Visitors Bureau board, and myself, and Vern Cron, of course, sitting next to me. Vern's instrumental in all of the portions. So it was the start of that process. Most of all, I want to thank the involvement also from the city with Melanie Burchetta. Melanie is the HR director, and as such, she is our professional within the industry in Carson City, and her legalese in creating a job description was imperative. I want to thank Stan Jones for, you know, bringing in a short amount of time Melanie Burchetta up to speed with the process behind the position. I can tell you that Melanie took the opportunity no differently than any position that she creates as a new position within Carson City, and did some parity studies and looked at of like positions in other communities. We had already, through the process of the master plan, had an opportunity to look at the job duties and descriptions in the position in Reno, and it didn't necessarily make the perfect fit, but some of the other communities, and those communities would be sister cities that are of like in population demographics, and so I think there was about 5 to 6 different communities that Melanie looked at in creating the job description, and she did a fantastic job. Not only did we have an opportunity to identify a title for the position, which the position will be titled as a Arts and Cultural Coordinator, we were able to define the levels of responsibilities that this person will have when hired, and it's going to be a free thinker. It's somebody that's really going to be working with little to no supervision, and as such, we also needed to establish a pay range that would allow us to actively recruit the best qualified candidate. During that process, a couple of questions came up as far as what was sold to the properties as far as the person, the position going to be an at-will position. It was important because the properties are supporting it with a sunset clause in 5 years to reevaluate the return on the investment. And that return, I'll tell you, was when I sat down with each one of the properties, I went over that it is going to be a long process. The first couple of years, this person is going to be tasked with getting all of the great arts groups in our communities that are working in those individual silos to work hand in hand with the commission. It's going to be hard-pressed to have any real measured return the first couple of years for this position. They're going to have an identifiable skill set for working with the city, with their grant writing, with Janice, working with the fundraising mechanism in the first 2 years. Really, the measured return when it comes to creating an arts and cultural tourism campaign as part of this really is going to happen maybe year 4 and 5, and that's when we'll come back and assess that return on the investment. I, for one, don't have any doubt that this is going to prove to be not only beneficial for our community, but it's going to allow us to diversify what we offer for our visitors coming into our community. So, once again, you do have a copy of that job description. The job description, quickly, just the summary of the job purpose. This coordinator will program, organize, implement, and evaluate programs, events, and activities that promote arts education, fine arts, visual arts, special events, public and community art projects, performing arts, exhibitions, and festivals, organizes and conducts outreach efforts and collaborates with community groups, schools, and other art organizations to promote program awareness and advance the overall efforts of the Carson City Arts and Cultural Programs as adopted in the Carson City Arts and Cultural Master Plan. That kind of sums up 3 pages of job duties and skill sets. We've also added through the support of the Visitors Bureau Board last night, approved not only the job description but the pay range. That pay range is going to start out depending on experience. The hourly rate will start at $27.45 and can range up to $41.18. That's once again based on kind of a parity study of making sure that we can compete against other communities that are looking for the same type of a position. That pay range with salaries and wages will be roughly $57,113 up to $85,669, depending on experience. Now, all of my full-time employees, and I say all based on all two, but the two employees that we have in the Visitors Bureau that are full-time, they are awarded a benefit package. And I wanted to make sure that's truly a recruiting tool for us to go out and get the best qualified candidates. My board did support the direction of having this person receive the same employee benefit package that I afford my other two employees, and that would include the PERS retirement and also visual, medical, dental, and life insurance.
Joel, will you elaborate on the fact why we veered away from a contract employee and how that didn't really pencil?
You bet. Looking at the different opportunities of hiring this position, if you look at currently the city, they use a lot of contractual employees. And whether it's an independent contract or a contract employee through a third party, it does drive the cost of that employee up anywhere from 25 upwards of 33% over and above the hourly rate. We are right in the market then of just having them come in and get the benefit package. Every employee that works for the Visitors Bureau is already an at-will employee. So, you know, if the commission, if the Visitors Bureau board at any time really doesn't see the project playing as quickly as we anticipate this to happen, the employee, then we can make a change. But that being said, if we're going to spend 25 to 33% over and above to a third party to facilitate the hiring and recruiting for this position, that makes no sense. I am afforded the opportunity through an interlocal agreement with the city that the city will take care of the recruiting process for us. We'll work hand in hand, the commission and the Visitors Bureau, on selecting community members, commission members, and visitors board members to handle that interview process. And we'll put that together once we get through the vetting process of the Board of Supervisors. Just to finish off I'll touch on where we're going from here after tonight. But the benefit package will increase that cost to anywhere from $27,000 up to $35,000, depending on, once again, the level of the hourly wage that we bring the person in. That really is kind of the medium of where these positions are typically paid in those other communities. They range anywhere from a starting salary of $60,000 up to, you know, $102,000 to $110,000. So I do think we can compete based on everything else we bring for quality of life for somebody if they're not hired locally, if they do relocate. But the overall cost then for the employee wages and benefit package will range anywhere from $87,000 up to just over $126,000, once again, depending on experience. Right now, although budgeted, we've got our room tax revenues estimated coming in, room revenues at just over $15 million. Looking at this year, I'm actually projecting that we'll be closer to that $16 million, which will provide about $160,000 with the potential room tax increase. So in that first year, that'll leave us, you know, depending on where we hire this person within that range, it'll allow us enough to truly start some of these opportunities within that first year. We're certainly looking at trying to have within two to 3 years the opportunity to use that full $160,000 for the master plan implementation and starting the cultural tourism campaign. The next step, in order to get the 1% room tax increase, the first step is a reading of a business impact statement that I submitted to the Board of Supervisors. That'll happen this Thursday following the master plan presentation to the Board of Supervisors. So after they approve the master plan, then they'll look at the business impact statement. The business impact statement is an assessment of my contact with the lodging properties, making sure the lodging properties were able to measure if there would be any negative impact to the properties based on a 1% room tax increase. That's also based on any possible expansion of the properties. That being said, it's passed on directly to the consumer. It doesn't put us at a competitive disadvantage. We would be going to 11%. All of our surrounding communities are already either at 13.5. So we're certainly not going to lose any of our current room nights with somebody wanting to stay in Reno to travel to Carson City, whether it's for business or for a special event. So that being said, the business impact statement does assess that there is little to no impact on the businesses. We'll have that approved through the Board of Supervisors this Thursday. That will be followed up by the two readings of an ordinance change to increase room tax to 11%, and that'll happen at the first two meetings in April. We are looking at implementing the room tax as early as May 1st. The properties are prepared. They're ready and willing to support the cause. That will allow us to start the recruiting process while actually putting a little bit away, and we'll have a little bit of a salary savings maybe the first 2 months. I would imagine that recruiting process could take easily 60 to 90 days. So that's what I have, and certainly can answer any questions.
I just want to say thank you, because you've worked overtime and doubly hard to work through this entire process, so appreciate it.
This is absolutely worth the cause, and I know that we as a bureau did not have an opportunity to be part of the process throughout the last year, and you guys have done a fantastic job. During this, I had to, first of all, go out and do all of my research on cultural tourism, creating a definition of cultural tourism within our community, working with Nevada Commission on Tourism. I can tell you they're looking at the entire state of all of those events that they see as worthy of marketing for cultural tourism. Looking at our inventory of assets, this is important for us to do. And if I would have had to create the cultural tourism campaign on my own, I wouldn't have the master plan. I wouldn't have the support of the community. What you've done throughout this last year is really going to expedite that process for us in the lodging property. So I thank you.
Joel, once the Board of Supervisors approves the master plan and the position, we can start an advertising right away, right? Yeah. Are we still trying to target 1 July as a tentative date, higher date?
Yeah, I think that would be an ideal date. I think that would allow us the proper recruiting that we would right. want to do. Yeah, absolutely.
I think my only concern, and I know that I'd missed the last couple of meetings, is that because this is under the Visitor Bureau, the missions behind the Visitors Bureau and the Cultural Commission are similar, but there are still different. This is still about quality of life for Carson City citizens. This isn't just about getting heads in beds. This is about our school children, about the people that live here, that work here, that play here. Of course, we want the people that stay here to be involved as well, but I don't want that to be the main focus behind this. Behind this job, is that it still really is about quality of life for Carson City.
Yeah, absolutely, I understand the concern.
I don't follow what you're saying.
Yeah, I do.
Well, go ahead.
I do. There are pieces in the master plan that don't really affect tourists directly, visitors directly, such as the education programs. When the Visitors Bureau board was meeting to discuss the increase in the room tax, the property owners had a chance to speak. And Jonathan Bulware, who is the manager of Goldust West, what he said to the public was, I employ 200 people who live in Carson City, and this benefits them too. So I think they're on board with that. So we might be starting with the cultural tourism, but all the things that make Carson better for visitors also help the residents. But we're not going to let them forget the other parts.
I also had a question about that. It's kind of related, and now that it's under the Visitors Bureau rubric, you mentioned that this person, this position, would coordinate with the Visitor Bureau's board and this commission. How are we going to interface with the Visitor Bureau's board?
Great question. In looking at the day-to-day and monthly duties of this position, they're going to work directly with the commission when it comes to the entire juring of artwork, RFPs, implementation of the master plan. Truly, the role of the Visitors Bureau Board and myself as the executive director is the fiscal management. That's our role. And really the reason that we've gone this direction is if you look at the NRS statute in the intended use of room tax, It is very limited, and I think this is really the way that we can assure that we get all of the greater good for the community, including a new diverse cultural tourism campaign for the lodging properties, in addition to everything the community gets through quality of life and the implementation of the master plan. But this position will report monthly to the board when you guys have, I know you had one canceled in December, but they will come directly and work hand in hand with the liaison and staff to the city. They will report based on the fiscal management of the program to the Visitors Bureau Board. Yeah.
Can you envision a scenario where this commission would have to meet with the Visitors Bureau's board, the Visitors Bureau Board, over this position?
I don't really foresee that. I would say that we might form some subcommittees if we're looking at some pretty major projects, and you know, when we get to having a full $160,000 to spend in this effort. But you have a direct representative of the Visitors Bureau Board on your board, and Stan reports and will continue to report directly in addition to the coordinator's position to the Visitors Bureau Board. Okay.
I think it's really important for this commission to read the position description and make sure that that liaison is mentioned the way we want it to be.
Okay. Just so you're aware of the process moving forward. In addition to the meetings I talked about with the Board of Supervisors, the one thing that I do not go in front of the Board of Supervisors for the approval of the job description or the positions. The job description was approved as written for the Visitors Bureau Board, and that's the governing agency, the board, for the board. I did supply it as supporting documentation for both of the board meetings moving forward for the Board of Supervisors, but it's certainly a living document. It's something that we as a Visitors Bureau Board and you as a commission, if we see and need to adjust that job description, we certainly have that opportunity. Now, this is truly going to be a collaborative effort between the two boards.
Are there any other comments? Any comments from the public? Okay, we have a possible action item to recommend that the Board of Super...
Discussion only.
Discussion only?
Discussion only.
Okay.
But if you do have some comments that you want to share with Joel, now would be the time.
Okay. If anyone has any comments. Next is item E about the Carson City Visitors Bureau application for a Nevada Arts Council jackpot grant. And the purpose of that was to come up with the ordinance wording for the master plan for this commission and for the new position. And I'm happy to say that that was awarded. We requested $1,000 and were awarded $933. We were hoping to have $2,000 with the match funds from the Visitors Bureau to bring Kendall back to work on that. And thank you, Joel, for not only matching the 933, but making up the difference, so we still have 2,000 for Kendall. And I believe that she's agreed to do that. Any comments about that?
Yes, thank you for your work on that, Ellie.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
And I want to mirror that. I think you did a great job in preparing the grant proposal. Once again, the Bureau's part of this will just be the fiscal management of the allotted dollars. We have no problem increasing the amount to the 1,067 so that the project can have the full $2,000. Mm-hmm. It's imperative to this process moving forward. So, yeah, glad to be a partner.
Good, thank you. And I want to thank the Arts Council, too, for helping us with that. We had very little time to put that together. And our staff learned it was a good example of the different groups working together. that we want to see that continue. Any comments? Public comments?
Well, I just want to once again thank you for bringing back Kendall. She worked really, really hard for the last pot of money that we were able to get her. So I hope that this is relatively simple for her to put together. I think she knows what she's doing. I think she'll be able to do this in short order. Mm-hmm. So I'm appreciative that she's coming back to, we'll get to see her one more time.
Right. And I think we can do this all by Skyping and email, and she doesn't actually have to be here to do it. Any other comments? Thank you. Next is...
Thanks, Joel, for all his work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next is the scoring matrix that Kendall put together for us, and it's one of our next steps, is to evaluate. Well, no, this is the other scoring matrix. This is the one for the special events grants that will be submitted in the middle of April. And the meeting for review is after that. The item F presented the grant application, which is very similar to the one from last year, except at the bottom of each question, there's a range that guides the evaluators in how to score it so that we can come up with reasonable evaluation for each applicant.
Did you work on this, Ellie?
No.
Oh, okay.
I first saw it in the packet, but I was very happy. I can't work on it because I'm one of the applicants.
Right.
But I was happy to see that there'll be something quantitative for evaluating these and that there's some guidance instead of we don't have enough money, let's just cut everybody equally when that's reasonable if the projects have equal value. But they might not.
Yeah, if I could, Madam Chair. Kelly was the one that helped me put this together. She used the Nevada Arts Council, which some of you are familiar with, have a grant application process. And so she drew a lot on that matrix or that scoring criteria to help me put this together. She worked really hard on this, and so what we're here to do tonight, basically, is to see if we're going in the right direction, you know, if we want to have different questions. So don't want to turn this into a free-for-all necessarily, but the way Kelly and I were looking at this is that we would give this to you guys. We've highlighted, as the chairperson indicated, the changes to the special event forms are highlighted in yellow. If you like those, that's great. If you don't, we want to change them. That's okay, too. But at least it gives us a starting point to move forward with.
Well, I'd just like to comment, thank you, Kelly, for your insight on this, because as redevelopment chair, since the funding comes from redevelopment, I think there needs to be some collaboration in terms of scoring with regards to that, but yet relate to the cultural aspect that, you know, we want to convey. And I think you did a good job of doing that in the questions and the scoring mechanism that we will be undergoing. So the things that you highlighted, I thought, were very apropos.
Well, I have a few comments if we want to go through it just page by page, really small, so nothing substantive for me per se. The first page, under general discussion number 3 about how to have the applicant estimate the economic impact on our community, and how they should do that. And one option was to put their event through that National Endowment for the Arts arts calculator. The second one was to continue having the applicant use the existing forms criteria to evaluate the economic impact of the event. And then the third was another option, the third was that in the near future is have the Arts and Culture Coordinator could work with the Visitors Bureau to assess the economic impact of the event. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things that came up in our master plan development last year. There was a little bit of poo-pooing of that calculator, that online calculator, by people that are more economically savvy than me. Second, but I also thought in reading last year's applications that the existing way that people were taking a stab at it on their applications wasn't necessarily useful either. So those were just that. So my option, I would go for the third one, is to have the Arts and Culture Coordinator try and hammer something out with the Visitors Bureau that works for everybody.
Well, and to comment on that, I feel that the data gathering that will occur more so than has in the past will really help in terms of that. And since that's one of the tasks that the Arts and Culture Coordinator is being tasked with, I agree with that.
Okay. Now, keep in mind when you look at this form that the forms are already out. People are already filling them out right now. So some of these things we're talking about are not going to be implemented in this go-around. That would not be fair at this late date to say, oh, get the change, redo the forms, redo. That's not fair. So so anyway, these are things that I'm looking forward to putting into implementation next year. And the Arts and Culture Coordinator will be here. They may have some ideas on this as well. But I do think if you like the scoring criteria, you could use that as a guide. Now, again, keeping in mind that the applicants don't have that criteria to judge from.
Right.
This year.
Right.
Now, you
so
can use... Correct. Exhibit A. Exhibit A is the form that they're filling out, which was basically the same as last year.
Right.
So you can use those as a guidelines, but keep in mind that the applicant doesn't have the scoring criteria that we're talking about, and that would be implemented again in the next cycle go-around. Okay?
So go ahead.
We're using Exhibit A this year for the applications, not C?
That is correct, sir. Yes.
Okay.
So we won't be able to really score these unless we chose to use this informally in our on our own as we go through the applications.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So, well, I had a couple of questions. When you have the small font on the bottom and the qualities that you're looking for and then the different ranges of scores, will the applicants be able to see those?
We can certainly increase the text size. That's not a problem.
That's not what I meant.
Okay.
Will they be able to see the scoring criteria?
Oh, yes.
On the applications?
That would be my intent, yes, is that next year in 17, when we go through this process, that scoring criteria will be just as it is, except not highlighted in yellow. So they would know that, for example, they aren't necessarily numbered, but let's just take the first one, for example. Event descriptions and objectives, the score range is between 0 and 20 points, and then broken down, it's into vague, sufficient, clear, very well-defined. They will know that. So when they write their, when they do their narrative, they will have that right in front of them, or at least that's the intent, at least my intent with that.
So I apologize to the other commissioner. So I'm going to keep going. On page 2.
I'm sorry, let's back up just a second, if we could, Terry, just for a second. Is there anything on page 1 you would like me to change? I know I'm just trying to follow along here so that I can follow along.
Are we talking about A or C?
Yeah, we're talking about C right now, I believe. Yes. So nothing on page 1 of 5 for Exhibit C.
So on page 2, third from the bottom, describe any efforts to obtain funding from other sources. The question right above that is have other organizations besides yours committed funding. So the describe any efforts to obtain funding from other sources and then to score that, I was wondering if that's fair. Because somebody could,
an applicant could arbitrarily write, I reached out to 20 different organizations and nobody responded. So then they would get a high score on that.
Be sure you get your mics on, please.
Okay, well, yeah, let's discuss this because...
If you said none, why would you get a higher score than if, say, Karen said three?
But what if you reached out to 20 and nobody responded to you? But at least you'd have 20 the people that you reached out to.
Because it's an effort to acquire funding, not necessarily an accomplishment at acquiring funding.
Right.
I think you could still evaluate it. If the effort was, I submitted a complete application to the E.L. Cord Foundation, but they turned me down. Right. That would be different from, I sent a request for funds to 20 local businesses and nobody responded. The level of effort is different. Okay. And I don't know if I can talk about this. Can I?
Yeah,
in
yes.
an abstract way?
Yes, no, please do. Yes, that's not a problem.
And Terry, when you're going to have a lot of events that you're going to be jurying. Mm-hmm. So as you go through that, you'll really be able to assess through the level of those applications who's really putting forth an effort and who is not.
Right.
So.
You know, and that's a good point. I was on redevelopment for 7 years, and I went through this for 7 years on redevelopment. And people learn the system. They truly do. So I think what...
Which is a good argument for always having new kinds of applicants coming into the system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Before we move on, I just want to close that loop just for me. So we're saying that the two questions that you had commented on are okay as it is.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So then on the top of page 3, I just had a couple of typing things.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
New question. Describe the process used to choose the artist, et cetera, et cetera. For example, I would put quotes around those two different examples. Provides exposure to a new artistic discipline or genre, and then, or outside of the quotes, and then close quotes again, event is free and open to the public, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, that's easy to do.
That's okay?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
And then the third one down, list other organizations and businesses partnering or participating in the event. Isn't that related? Is that related or the same as the one on page 2, what other organizations besides yours have committed funding?
I saw that as kind of a distinction. I mean, you could have somebody who gives you, let's say Tahoe Regional Hospital gives you money, but you might have another organization that's actually in the trenches with you. You know, someone who is actually partnering with you in more than just giving you cash.
Provides so venue, for example. Provides a venue.
And this may be my last comment. The last question, the last field on page 3, how do plan to market and advertise the event? That needs to be, you needs to be inserted in there. Oh, following up on that same question, how do you plan? And then the scoring was 1 to 5 efforts, you get so many points. 6 to 10 efforts, you get so many points. What is an effort? Is that a mailing? I mean, knocking on doors, making phone calls, I mean...
Well, we had some discussion about that. Some of the thoughts were is that if you look at social media, for example, there are multiple ways to reach out on social media. So, you know, are you doing tweets? Are you on Facebook? Are you, you know, texting people? How are you doing that? So that's what I would expect in that question would be is... What are your outreaches? Are you advertising in the Nevada Appeal? You know, or are you sending home peaches in the news, you know, in the kids' school stuff? So that's the way I would interpret that particular question.
Yeah, and Terry, just speaking from the Greenhouse Project, I mean, we reach out to various calendars, and as far away as Sacramento or as far away as Mammoth, okay, then there's this other social media aspects, and then there's the theater, you know, on the Fandango Theater reader board, and, you know, maybe you do a banner over town, and maybe there's, you know, other things that you do. So, yeah.
And so the idea is that, you know, to give them money, we want their event to be as successful as possible, and we want them, by forcing this question, if you will, you know, as Karen alluded to, what are their avenues? You know, are we giving them X amount of money, and they're just kind of standing on the street corner with a big, you know, a big sandwich board? Is that all they're going
or
to do?
Or just doing one Facebook post?
Post, right. So, to me, someone, or at least an organization that would just make a little effort like that, I think would raise into question how much money you'd want to give them, in my mind. You know, if they're reaching out to all these different venues through newspapers, social media, banners, all this other stuff, yeah, they want their event to be successful. And I want to know that they want their event to be successful versus like, oh, I'm just going to put it on my Facebook page and call it good.
I think the next one, the one that says, have you obtained all necessary approvals and permits? That's almost a go, no-go. If they don't have that done when they come for this, I don't think they should be considered, because the city's put a lot of emphasis on that now. They really are.
Yeah, however, these applications are for next fiscal year, which starts July 1st, and some of the permitting organizations will not sign contracts for next year until very close to the end of this fiscal year, and certainly will not by April 15th when this application is due. So be aware of that.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying I know the city is really putting emphasis, which I concur with.
It's almost too late to have that on the form? Is that what you're
saying? Well, no, I think it's very, if they don't have it, then
early.
It shouldn't be considered.
If you're, for example, wanting to use state property, you can't get this permit from the buildings and state buildings and grounds or the Legislative Council Bureau until very close to July 1st. So it's too early to have that. You can say we plan to, or
these are the ones we
yeah,
move.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps the funding, the award of the funding is, you know, contingent upon getting the permits. I think that would make the most sense.
Now, my question was, it was brought up with, as far as the advertising goes, how would one go about getting a flyer put into the Peaches at a school? I mean, is that something that's available to all of our cultural organizations, or do you have to know someone, or is it school specific?
No, what the process is, and I don't know the exact rules, the city has the opportunity, just by virtue of being the city and the relationship we have with the school district, we have the opportunity to send home flyers or pieces of or information in the Peaches. But the process that we go through is that we have to go to the school district. It has to be reviewed by the school district. Then there's some criteria. I don't know what that is, in all honesty, right off the top of my head. Off the top of my head, Megan does that more than I do. But the process is you go to the school district. The higher-ups at the school district approve it. Then what happens is then once it gets approved, then you have to make off basically hundreds and hundreds of copies for each particular school, count them out, do all that kind of stuff for them, and then you just deliver it to the school. I don't know if it's available to, for example, like Les Schwab, if they would be able to do that, for example. I don't know what the policy is on that. I'd be a little suspicious with that, to be honest. And for the record, I do have my tires done on Les Schwab, but but I just don't know if a commercial venue like that would have the ability through the school district to put, you know, flyers in it for Les Schwab, for example. I don't know about the different organizations, the cultural event organizations in town. It's something that would be, I'm sure, a school district policy. We would just have to look into it.
Now, just, I guess, on a similar but unrelated topic, would we be able to, as the Cultural Commission, put, like, maybe quarterly a flyer of upcoming events into the Peachies to get the word out?
It would be worth exploring.
If it's events for children.
Opportunities. And in all honesty, I don't know. That would be something we would have to check with the school district.
In all honesty,
see what their policies are on that.
The office staff is not thrilled when you bring them these to put in the Peachies. So it would be better if it were an annual thing, I think, than every quarter.
So on page 3 of 5, we're kind of working this through page by page. Is there anything, I've got Terry's comments on the first field, and then on the last field I've made the editorial comments. Were there anything else on page 3 of 5 that we need to talk about? And I just, the reason I'm asking that is do we need, you know, Stan, from your perspective, do we need to say that, anything that, regarding the permits, do we need to add anything?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't aware of what Ellie said, you know. So I think if at all possible, it should be done, though.
And I want to, I guess, go back to the top question on page 3, where it's the new question, describe the process. I guess can we also include there is, you know, are any new groups being served by this event? You know, any underserved or unrepresented populations, so that, you know, is this something new that's coming to Carson, or kind of filling a hole that existed?
I think we could probably put some language in there like that if the commission is favorable to that.
Vern, back to the idea of the permits, I just think somewhere it needs to be stated that funding is contingent on all the necessary permitting for the event.
But it does say what are still pending, so that shows that you are aware that you need the permits. I was thinking in the new question, you might want to separate those, because for our Cultural Commission purposes, the choice of artists has to do with the artistic quality of the event, and that might be slightly different from the overall benefit to the community.
So you're thinking a separate question then, related to new or?
Not sure. The Arts Council has a question on how did you choose your artists, because they want to know that you're choosing artists who have the right background. And the question about benefit to the community has a slightly different slant. Yeah, it does benefit the community to bring in well-known or well-respected artists, but maybe for cultural tourism, something that redevelopment might like, that's not of high artistic quality, but is a lot of fun and very entertaining, would be important, and it's important to us too, but maybe we have a slightly different goal as a cultural commission. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't know. I see it all as benefit to the community regardless, so that's all in the perception of what the event.
It also benefits the community if you say we're only going to use Carson City artists, but then you're limiting yourself as far as the quality or the national renown you might get. I guess you just explained that.
Anything left on page, five is a bleed over page, so the only other page would be left on page 4 or 5. Any other editorial and or thoughts regarding that?
Any comments from the public? Do we want to approve this with the changes that were suggested?
I move to approve the scoring ranges and criteria to evaluate arts and culture special event grant applications with the changes during this discussion added.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And next is approval of the, I think we're up to the work plan.
Yes, that is correct. We're at the work plan.
Did you guys take public comment on the last?
Yes, they did.
There wasn't any, but we asked.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they did.
Thanks.
This is to recommend approval of the Cultural Commission's annual report, which is item 3G.
For the record, Vern Cron, Senior Park Planner again. The Cultural Commission is required by Carson City Municipal Code to submit an annual report and work plan to the Board of Supervisors no later than May 1st of each year. The Parks and Recreation Department has developed the below list of items that the Cultural Commission has worked on from March 2015 to present. And that list or the report itself is based off the index. Exhibit B shows the index that we do for every commission that we have, is that we do this on a monthly or a regular meeting basis just to keep track of everything. So that was the basis from which I created the report, and I took some liberties here. So you know, this is not necessarily this is just staff saying here's my best shot at it. You know, we can change it, we can modify it, but I took the liberties to basically take stuff off the list that was done or we're working on or has a different focus and put new stuff on. The other assumption I made during this development of the staff report, or the work plan, if you will, and the work plan and report, is that I made the assumption that the Board of Supervisors was going to adopt the Arts and Culture Master Plan and pass the 1% sales tax. So that's what I based it on. Now, if that doesn't happen on Thursday, then we'll have to kind of revisit this to some extent. But that's the assumption I made. I'm not presupposing the board. That's not my intent. It's just that it just made it a little difficult for me to develop the report unless I made some basic assumptions, and those were my basic assumptions. So we'll move forward from there. So,
my only question was, did we want to add something that addresses public art in terms of the commission actively pursuing during public art based on, you know, grant awards?
That we would go after grant awards, or that the commission would go after grants awards, or that you would give out money for grant awards?
Correct, that.
Okay.
Well, that may be touched on in item 2 on the second page for anticipates the following initiatives for 2016-2017. Begin to work with the Arts and Culture Coordinator to implement the public art initiatives and programs in the Arts and Culture Master Plan. That's kind of touching on that, Karen. We can maybe specify better. I wondered if we should specify specifically the downtown corridor on that.
Well, there will be public art opportunities on all the corridors. So I don't want to just
okay.
I don't want to be specific to one.
I have no problems adding that on item two, just making that a little more specific, that the idea of implementing the arts initiative in the programs would eventually include the idea of having money for the commission, grant money for the commission to be able to award. And I can add that as, instead of a separate item, I can just expand upon two. I don't have a problem with that.
And I just had a typo thing.
Please. It's better here than at the board when they pointed out at the board. Trust
yeah,
me.
So it's just further up on the on page two, item right. number one, there was an increase in constructive communication between the committee. That should be commission.
Ah, yes.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Any other thoughts related to what we, I tried very hard to follow the index as close as I could. I felt this is kind of the format that's been kind of started, so I was trying to just continue it. I like it. I have seen one commission that just kind of works, just took the index and kind of reported to the board just reading off the index, and I didn't think that was as effective as this could be. So I've taken some notes and I've compiled it here. So if you're happy with the format, we can move forward to the board with our report sometime probably in April.
I'll make the motion if you want. I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the Cultural Commission's annual report for 2015-16 and work plan for 2016-17 with the corrections added.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Need public comment this time around.
Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
You lost your mic.
All in favor.
Aye.
Thank you. Item H, to select a date in May for a special commission meeting to evaluate the grant applications that will be submitted by April 15th.
We, in order to have access to the Sierra Room so that we can be on public access TV as well as the setup that is here that helps us conduct these meetings. The only two dates that we have available in the Sierra Room in the month of May are, unless you want to meet on a Friday or Saturday morning, there might be some options there. But during the week, it's either Tuesday, May 3rd, or Wednesday, May 4th. I just didn't want to arbitrarily pick a date. I thought the commission could just find out amongst yourselves. You know, if any of those dates are fine, I think, Ellie, you shared with me in an email that one date's better than the other, but I'm open. Got two dates to pick from. Tell me which one you want.
The Wednesday I can't make, so Tuesday would be my
vote. Tuesday's better for me also.
Yeah. It doesn't matter for you other folks, okay. Tuesday it is.
Do we need comments about the date?
I just need a motion. Yeah. Go ahead and make the motion.
I move to select May 3rd for a special commission meeting, cultural commission meeting, to evaluate grant applications and to recommend to the Redevelopment Authority expenditures from the Redevelopment Revolving Fund to support arts and culture special event funding requests.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're up to four staff updates.
As I'm hoping everybody got my email that I sent out about what's happening this Thursday, this is kind of the culmination of you guys have been working so hard for so long. It's remarkable what you guys have accomplished in a year. Well, actually less than a year when you think about it. I think we got the direction at the board in May, if I recall right, of last year. So 9 months, you know, roughly. You guys have accomplished, you've moved you've moved mountains to get here, and the community's behind this, and it's a great plan. Kendall, of course, I don't want to take anything away from Kendall. She did an amazing job for us, but you guys, you know, the subcommittee work, you know, all the public hearings, Karen, you're behind the scenes working, you know, to make things happen at both the public level, but even moving City Hall sometimes is a good thing. So anyway, so I want to give you guys kudos, and just so for those of folks who are viewing from home, on Thursday, the Board of Supervisors has on its agenda around 2 o'clock in the afternoon the agenda item to hopefully approve the Arts and Culture Master Plan and the 1% room tax. So if you're out there and you can spare some time on Tuesday or on Thursday afternoon around 2 o'clock, please show up. It would be nice to fill up that room again like we did the first time. The December meeting, the public outpouring, the public testimony was amazing. My approach to that presentation is basically going to be very generic. I've asked Ellie to help me with that presentation as well to the board, but in my discussions I've had kind of email with the chairman and vice chair is just give a brief history, just remind everybody of the support we have around the community, and that we've had no official public opposition in the sense of tested. And I want to be clear on this because I know Karen has gotten some emails from some folks that, you know, aren't exactly excited about the idea of the plan, but none of those documents or none of those comments have been submitted during the formal public hearing process in opposition to the plan. So we've had nothing at the Cultural Commission level, we had nothing at the Planning Commission, and there was no public testimony against it at the Board of Supervisors meeting in December. So those kind of things, I just want to remind the board and take questions. I don't see a full-blown presentation at this point. Everybody has, unless you see it differently, that's kind of my approach.
No, I don't. And I think any objection that there was at the Planning Commission level, but it ended up a unanimous vote, and they were overwhelmingly supportive of it. And Stan can, you know, either concur or not, but even at our Visitors Bureau meetings, you know, the support was there. It was a discussion to get to that point in terms of the funding mechanism, but there was, people genuinely understood the worth of doing it. It's an untapped resource for our community, and it benefits everybody. So
that's pretty much my staff update. Please show up. It's really the bottom line on that. So.
Thank you, Vern. We couldn't have done all that without you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure. It really has been.
So now we'll talk about the vacancy. Oh, public comment. Public out there.
Kelly, Shoshana.
You know, and one other thing just before we move on from this particular agenda item, again, without Kendall, we couldn't have done it. The other thing is, without the Nevada Arts Council funding, it would never have happened. So by no means do I want to slight them in the slightest, because without their funds, we wouldn't be here either. So huge team effort. Huge
Thanks
team
to
effort.
Parks and Rec for applying for the funds.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Vern.
The last one is, as some of you may or may not know, Peter Barton's term on this committee ended in January of 2016. Peter chose not to re-up, and so we will be getting a replacement from the Nevada Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs, and it's embarrassing because her name has escaped me. She's a very nice lady, and so she will be at our next meeting.
It's not
Ronnie, is it? No, I want to say Claudia, but I don't know if that's...
Claudia,
yes, that's it. Yes, Claudia Vecchio. So thank you. That was the name that was spacing on you here. But, yes, she's excited to be here coming. She just could not make it tonight. So we will have her at our special meeting in May, attend the first time.
Public comment? Next is status reports and announcements from commission members.
To start, Greenhouse Project.
Go ahead.
Want that one first? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll talk about the greenhouse project. Our 2015 highlights are posted online if anyone would like to check that out at carsoncitygreenhouse.org. 61 flower baskets have been sponsored this year, and I want to thank all those businesses and private individuals who stepped up to do that. The Ag program and the FFA program at Carson High School are forging ahead, due in part to the Greenhouse Project providing its support and education, and a $5,000 lease that goes into their programs. So they keep expanding, and it's exciting to see. Corey King, who is our greenhouse manager, just completed the 2016 production plan for the greenhouse. And on July 14th, our 8th annual Concert Under the Stars will be hosting Tower of Power and the Rowan Brothers. Envy Energy, Carson Tahoe Hospital, and Carson Toyota have already pledged sponsorship, and we are looking for two more sponsors. So if anyone is interested, they can contact myself at 232-8626. We do have only three veranda tickets left to sell at $150 a piece. And then the other tickets right now are available online for three price points, 30, 45, and 65. And then the spring plant sale for the greenhouse project will be the day before Mother's Day. That's May 7th on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that's all I have to report.
Excellent. Thank you.
When was the plant sale again?
It is May 7th. It's a Saturday.
And get there early.
Yes.
I found out last year. Yeah, so just real quickly on an update on the Stewart Indian School, what's going on out there. Nevada Indian Commission.
Excuse me, I just have to cut you off. We didn't do public comment on the last one.
Go ahead, public comment.
Public comment. So update on the Stewart Indian School. Nevada Indian Commission received a large grant from the Cultural Affairs Department to complete a construction plan for Building 1 to completely rehab it. We had architectural plans, but we didn't have the construction plan. There's been a little back and forth between Public Works Board and the State Historic Preservation Office over just a couple of issues on the building, notably the windows. But that's all being resolved, and we should have that in hand in May. So once we have that, then we can go look for capital funds. I spoke with the National Trust for Historic Preservation representative for the state of Nevada. Her name's Melanie Green, I believe, Gustin, up in Reno. And she and I was brainstorming with her about different kinds of grants to go after, because historic preservation grants are few and far between, and as she pointed out, there are worthy projects all across the country, and we're all competing over about five different pots of money. And so she suggested that we broaden our scope and look into human rights issues and possibly even the Clinton Foundation. So I'll keep you posted as to where that goes, but that's kind of opened up a whole range of possibilities that we were not thinking about. We were thinking about construction-related, preservation-related, history-related, and hadn't really thought of that. So that's it. We almost have our construction plan done, and we're working on grant development.
Public comment. The Arts and Culture Coalition has a project that has been announced now. It's called Focus on Carson, and it's a photography competition with photos of Carson City buildings, people, events, and they will be reproduced on a mesh banner that will go at a construction site, the Hop and May Adams Foundation has approved that we can use their fence on the old bank building construction site. And these will be probably about at least 3 feet by 3 feet, the blow-ups of the winners. Yeah.
Will that be reusable or just a one-time?
I guess it depends on how well it withstands the weather. This has been done in other cities, but and we're using theirs as a model, but it's not affiliated with anything. And it's free.
Yep, those, again, since we've been so focused, I've been trying to keep this list updated. We've been so focused on the master plan that sometimes some of these agenda items would pop up and we just didn't have time to get them sorted and put on an agenda and staff report. So I've been trying to keep a running total of what we've talked about over the past 6 months for sure. And if I've missed something, you know, please let me know. If you want to add something, now would be the time to do it. The other thing, in just thinking ahead a little bit to the May meeting, is that it's going to be a full meeting. I mean, we've got the special events. That in and of itself, if you'll remember last time, was a long meeting. And probably in order to meet Kendall's time frames, in order to get the work done by the end of June. Is that right, Ellie? Kendall's work's got to be done. It starts April 1st.
Right, and it ends June 30th.
Right, so I'd like to bring Kendall's at least first drafts to the commission at that meeting. So then when we have our regular meeting in June, we would have a final document to approve, and that would round out Kendall's contract. So that's what I was planning to put on the agenda, for just those two agenda items. I know we have a request here for Mary to be on the agenda as well. So I didn't know if the commission felt that we should move it. And I don't know, I'm trying not to get into action items here because it's discussion only, but my thought would be is that I know Mary really wants to get this done, but or at least gets this to the commission to have a discussion about. So I don't know. I wanted to get some feedback from you how you do that.
Vern, I did talk to Mary. I think it's premature because we need to put these other things in place first before we get there. If we have any public art to work forward on, as Janice said, it'll be November before that money is awarded. So I think there's plenty of time to discuss that and get everyone's thoughts on it.
Plus, I think the May meeting is going to be busy with just the two things that we've got there.
I also think the new coordinator should be on board to be part of that discussion.
And we'll work with those two agenda items as being the only agenda items on the list. Yes, Stan.
I'd like to start the meetings earlier. Is 4 o'clock feasible for everybody?
Works.
Let me see if the room's available.
Yeah, depending on availability.
So we'd want to start at 4 p.m. Okay. I'll give it a run.
Appreciate it.
You know, the only thing, just thinking out loud, is that the special events one may not be the one you want to switch it to at 4 o'clock. I'm just thinking, as you're going to have public testimony come in and they're going to want to testify, that could be in the middle of some people's workday. That would be the only concern I would have with the May meeting. I don't have really any concern with the June meeting at all, switching it to 4 o'clock if the commission can make it. Just a thought. I don't know if that's... So we'd probably look at that in June, being our June meeting, starting then. Okay. I can make that happen. Well, at least I'll check on the rooms. And if I can make it happen, I will.
Can I ask just a quick question on... We've been talking about touring the Stewart Indian School campus. Do we want to do that on a separate date and not at one of our regularly scheduled meetings?
That probably is not a bad idea. Typically, the way our office does that is that if we have a special meeting, our preference is to have a quorum go, you know, versus just one person show up on that particular day. So if we can get a date that works for everybody, that we have the majority of the commission show up, I don't have a problem with that. So would an evening, kind of an evening session be better, or would you want to look at a weekend?
Oh, no, I was just going to say summer's the best time to go out there because it's all shady and it's really pretty. They've just done a lot of new plantings, too, that are in keeping with the historic landscaping that used to be out there. So, summer sometime, but it can be evening or morning.
Okay.
I'm sure Sherry Rupert would love to lead a walking tour.
Okay. Yeah. So let me get past the May meeting and then we can see what we can do about setting up something.
So guys, I just want to make sure that we stay on topic within this category.
Mm-hmm. So let's discuss at the next meeting, May or June.
Okay.
Possibilities for scheduling.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice recovery on that. All right. Thank you.
Any other future agenda items? Any other public comment? Okay, we could have a motion to adjourn at this point. No, this was really...
Thank you. We moved through this very quickly tonight. Went well.